is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. We had a fun first hour. Thank you to Brian Broaddus, host of 105 Through the Fan, joining us in the last segment. He likes the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a long list of people, Michael.
26 to 21. Where did we come up with that? 26. It's hard to get the 26. Yeah,
Chiefs
it?
Red zone offense, maybe a little shaky.
It is. You know, that's a big point. I mean, you know, the Chiefs haven't been dynamic when they got down there, right? Yeah. They've been very careful. When they try trick plays is when they usually end up making a mistake. So what do we should have a countdown clock to kick off. I mean, aren't we getting?
We do need that.
Is it 3:10, 3:15?
3:30.
3:30. Okay.
3:30. So my guess is probably 3:31, 3:32, maybe.
Well, it depends on how long Reba McEntire does on the. She could throw everything off. I mean, she could throw everything off.
Keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, Reba. She goes to 1:45. The whole thing goes to hell.
And then the NFL's calling all the advertisers like we anticipated this to happen. Then at 3:30 will be the kickoff West Coast time, 6:30 Eastern.
Good
of course.
To be here, though. I like being here and seeing the book. It's going to fill up today, right? A lot of basketball today.
Everyone's in town. Great. They all want to bet on stuff. So the basketball, I'm sure the handle will do really well today. We were talking about this earlier because right now we're seeing the shot of the book. It's 8:00 West Coast time. So it's a little bit early. People have been up all night throughout the week here.
I love it. That's what I love when I come in here. I love when I come in here. It's 5:30, 5:45 in the morning, and I see three guys sitting around drinking beers, you know,
watching ETL
slot
soccer
machines, and I'm thinking, God damn, that's the life now.
Craps table every now and then gets going.
I remember that one time we came in here; they were hot, they were firing,
and we left, and they were still there.
They were still going. I love it.
It's like these people have been up since God knows when, and it's like 9:15 in the morning, and they're still getting after it on the craps table.
I love it. So, and to me, they shouldn't be allowed to. You go to the window with a bad pick here; you can be in trouble. But anyway,
Super Bowl week is a whole lot of fun, though. But like we said, anybody who's coming out here, I know some people still getting out here today. Some people might come tomorrow as well, but just get your bets in now. Get your bets in as soon as possible, because the lines that you'll see in the sports books, wherever you go across down here in Vegas or wherever you happen to be in your jurisdiction, they're going to be long with everyone getting their prop bets in. I mean, you don't want to get stuck behind the person that's trying to get 20 bets in. That's just going to be a nightmare scenario. So don't put that kind of stress on yourself. Get your bets in whenever you can as soon as possible. And speaking of all the bets that we have to bet on and get into, Michael, the prop markets. That's the big story every Super Bowl year. MVP. We have the updated betting splits from our friends at DraftKings on Super Bowl MVP. Christian McCaffrey now is the most bet player, has the highest handle and the highest bet percentage. 26% of the handle is on the Niners running back who won Offensive Player of the Year. Mahomes has 20% of the handle. Travis Kelce with 16%. Brock Purdy and Isaiah Pacheco with 8%. I like Kansas City, but if you like the Niners, I feel like Purdy is a great bet at the
number. He's not going to win it. He could throw for 800 yards and rush for 600. He's not going to win it.
We've seen lesser players win it. I mean, like Malcolm Smith won Super Bowl MVP.
But that was like a kind of it gets surprising. I think what the betting market's teaching us here is that this is the MVP is a political thing as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is voting and
it all is.
Right? And so most of the voters that probably, I don't even know who they do this voting. Does Kaiser Soze do the voting? I mean, Kent somewhere around here? I don't know.
15 people that decide this.
Who knows? God forbid if we ever know who they are, right?
Hidden.
And so I think they're saying to us in this betting market that if the Niners win, it's going to be because they run the ball and McCaffrey's the dominant player. And you can't argue with that, right? You can't argue with that. You're not going to change the narrative of Purdy. As hard as we've tried to, you're not going to change the narrative. As soon as he makes one bad throw, everybody puts their finger up and says, see, I told you.
Aha.
Yeah.
That's where it is. But I just, the betting side of me just sees the quarterback of the favorite team at more than 2-1. To where it's like, man, like this oftentimes go to quarterbacks. If he has a couple of touchdown passes, who doesn't want to write the story of Mr. Irrelevant becomes Super Bowl MVP?
Femi,
that's a hell of a story to write.
He started 21 regular season games. He's won 17 of them, and he's still trying. And we still have to answer the question. He still has to answer the question. Your guy Fields has only won 10 games in 3 years, and they've anointed him the great. He should go for a first round pick. It's narrative, and this is what the betting market's teaching us.
Yeah.
And so we have to educate the fans about getting away from the narrative. And especially when it comes to the game and the over totals. This stuff, you can't get away from the narrative. Yeah. You can't get away from the narrative.
You have to lean into the narrative, honestly.
Right, and that's what the books have to do, right? I mean, this makes no sense. It makes no sense at all that Antonio Gates isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he isn't. Yeah. And so this makes no sense that Purdy is it. I mean, Purdy's in the same level as Isaiah Pacheco. Think about that. Just take a moment for that. I mean, that's remarkable. And it's just a lack of that's the narrative that's out there that we can't change no matter what we try to do.
Yeah. In terms of the handle, both Purdy and Pacheco, 8% of the handle, 7% of the bets on Pacheco, only 6% on Brock Purdy. Do you like Pacheco? Because you said Chris Russo likes the over.
He took him right away.
The over.
He took it right away because
if he has 100 and a couple touchdowns, he's right
here's
there.
Here's what worries me a little bit. You got 2 weeks to prepare. You know what they want to do. See, I think what's missing in all these layers of the discussion is the 49ers know the game plan that the Chiefs have to run. It's going to be a little bit of throws early in the game to loosen them up, run Pacheco. It's going to be a lot of the West Coast offense, quick throws, get the ball out quickly, you know, to get some momentum, then run the ball. I actually took on one of my plays, I took Mahomes on his over completions at 25 and a half.
I like that one.
I think there's too many zone coverages for the throws that he's going to make. And I think Russo almost fell out of his chair because he's so convinced Pacheco's going to get the ball 35 times in this game. And I don't remember in the coldest game we've had so far this year, the minus 33 game, Mahomes threw it 41 times.
And they were winning the whole time.
They threw it 41 times in that game. So, yeah. And so I just think to me, my reason for being a little bit reluctant on Pacheco is because when you know something going in that you have to stop, the other team knows you're trying to stop it, so they deviate. And, you know, and look, the other thing I do know about this game on these rushing props, the book on Andy Reid, and it's the book on Andy Reid is we know he doesn't like to run the ball. We know that.
He gets bored with it.
Quickly. That's the key word there. Quickly. So when he gets, you know, if you can stop him from running the ball early in the game, he's not coming back to it. Like, he won't come, like, I got to get back to that run game, you know, whereas some coaches, they kind of, we got to, let's keep going. And so that's really, if you're Wilkes, you want to be really good defensively in the run game to get him away from it, to make him feel like, okay, I got to, because he won't go back to it.
No, I really like the Mahomes over completions. I wrote about that for our Super Bowl betting guide. We encourage everyone, if you don't have it, VSiN.com/pro to check that out. Because like you said, if the run game isn't going and the Niners are able to stop it initially, they can still use that short passing game as almost as an extension of the run game. We see a lot of West
Coast
offenses
do that. They're going to come out throwing. I'm just telling you, they're not going to come out saying, we're going to establish the run.
First play of the game pass for Kansas City?
There's no question.
To me,
this is where people really get confused. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to come out to establish the lead, not establish the run. And so that's what they've done. 46 of their 70 points are in the first half. They are establishing the lead. And so when you try to establish the lead, you've got to throw it. And there's going to be some throws predicated based on looks, predicated based on formation, that Mahomes is going to have some easy throws. And I think Andy's going to go into full CFL offense. Full CFL offense. And for CFL offense is simply this. First downs and two downs. First downs and two downs. Stay out of third down. Keep them from rushing the passer. Now, that's Kyle's plan, too, because what Pagano said yesterday when we had him on the show, what Baldy was saying is if Spagnuolo gets you in a long down distance and they can push the inside of that pocket with Chris Jones, you're going to have some issues. Purdy's going to have some issues making some tight throws, and that's going to be the problem.
So if they're establishing the lead, like you mentioned, I'm looking right now at the first drive results for the Kansas City Chiefs. Punt is the favorite, plus 130. Touchdown, plus 215. Field goal attempt, it doesn't have to be made, just attempt, plus 320. Then turnover on downs or safety is plus 650.
They played three games.
Yeah.
This streak has started four games ago with Cincinnati, okay? They've scored on every opening possession.
And it's been touchdowns.
No, it's been field goals or touchdowns. It hasn't always been a touchdown.
Yeah. I was thinking about the playoff streak, but you're going back to the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, but they have scored on the script has resulted in points on every single. So to me, I would play both of those, touchdown or field goal, if I was Kansas City. I should have played that in Russo. I would have done that. I really think that, I mean, because this is, again, I don't know if Wilkes is going to be divergent in thought in terms of how he sets up the game plan. But that would be a prop I would like. But look, let's go to player props here. Brock Purdy interception -140. I mean,
does it surprise you that's the most bet one?
Yeah, I mean, the poor guy. I feel bad for his parents.
I saw somebody tweet. They said, "Hey, is there anywhere that we could bet Brock Purdy throw 3 or 4 interceptions in the game?" I was like, "Hey, you know, I guess if you got an angle, you got an angle." But yeah, Purdy over half an interception -140, the number one bet player prop right now.
I mean, again, it's based on the narrative. How about Juszczyk receptions over 1? People, I think that was a great one. I didn't even know that was out there. I would have taken that one easily because he will catch the ball. Because if the way I see it of a spread game, see, the beautiful thing what San Francisco has is they can be anything they want to be without substituting, which really can cause problems for Spagnuolo. They can be an 11 team and they take McCaffrey and put him in the slot. They can be a 10 team, 1 back, 4 receiver, and it's just to extend Kittle. And they could be a 2 back team with McCaffrey and Juszczyk in the backfield. They can be anything they want to be without substituting. And that causes the most problems for Spagnuolo because he now has to set his defense based on where people are on the alignment. Where is everybody? Is Debo in the backfield? Is McCaffrey in the slot? Is McCaffrey in the slot with Debo in the other slot with Kittle and Juszczyk in the back? Like, there's all these things. And the volume of that leads to confusion.
Yeah. And Juszczyk is versatile enough a player to be the single back in the backfield.
Like, well, he would just block.
Yep.
They would be in a 6-man, 7-man protection, and he's got the guy to block him, and now we're going to throw the ball. And if Spags comes out, see, Aaron Glenn came out in base, and I thought San Francisco was late to react to that.
We'll discuss more of these player props on the other side. Also, some of the best sound from throughout the week here on the Lombardi Line. We'll break it down coming up after this break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tell you what, our new VSiN website has been revamped for about 6 weeks here, and it is absolutely fantastic. If you haven't already checked it out, it's VSiN.com. I mean, we've got great stories on there. Our Super Bowl betting hub, all the links that are posted there. So anything that your heart desires, every opinion imaginable at the network is on the website, VSiN.com. Check it out today. They did a tremendous awesome job with the new website.
And get the newsletter. I mean, there's no better writer we have here than the great Bill AD. I mean, you got to get that morning newsletter. It brightens my day up.
I'm up late, I guess I should say.
I don't know how the hell he does it, but it's great. And we're entering a phase, let's be clear here, after this Sunday at 3:30 when we kick this thing off, everybody's going to need a little help here. There's a lot of stuff going on, right? There's a lot of college hoops, pro hoops.
Around the corner, you know what time it is. Around the corner,
it's going to be KenPom time. So you better help. The guide helps you, and all these splits help you. I know they help me, Femi. I've got to do a ton of prep work to get ready for it because I love college hoops. I love pro hoops, but the website really helps you tremendously. It's the best investment you can make.
100%. And with the way the NFL sees, I mean, who knows? In 5 years, we might be playing the Super Bowl a couple weeks from now. We're just going to roll Super Bowl into March Madness.
In Madrid, right.
Shout out to the NFL announcing that the Madrid game. We have the Eagles will be hosting a game in Brazil on the Friday.
That one still blew me away. That one just got me completely off the wall. I mean, I Brazil, they just slipped that in on me. Like, they just got that one past me.
Goodell mentioned it in the press. He said, oh, and also, by the way, the Eagles will be in opening the season in Brazil on a Friday. It's like, wait, what happens? But we're going to have a Thursday kickoff game, the Friday Brazil game with Philadelphia.
We I wonder if Wawa will sell Brazil coffee that day for free. We'll give away Brazil. That would be a good promo. I should talk to Wawa about that. Yeah.
Get on that one. Make sure they get you a cut of whatever the sales are for the Brazil game. But this is the Lombardi Line hanging out here on the DraftKings Network. It's good to do these in person, man. These are always fun when we get to do these in person. It's been fun having you out here all week long. We will continue to break down some of these Super Bowl props, but wanted to play this soundbite because this has been a lot of the discussion this week for Kyle Shanahan, what this game means to him. Everyone discusses the 28-3 game, which you were a beneficiary of with the New England Patriots for that one. But Kyle Shanahan gets a bulk of the blame.
That wasn't his fault.
Despite not being the head coach.
He was the offensive coordinator. Then don't let the narrative get in the way of it, right?
He also gets blamed for Super Bowl 54. Niners with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, ultimately lose the game 31-20 to the Kansas City Chiefs. But Shanahan was asked about what – a loss might mean to his legacy and the narrative around him as a head coach if they were to lose this game coming up tomorrow?
I deal with it the same way if we win. I celebrate with our team, I celebrate with my families, and I move on with the rest of my life, which is being a father, son, and coaching and working and doing all that. I mean, narrative, good or bad, is just a narrative. And that's my biggest thing with everything. Like when you go into these games, what makes you prepare? I just don't want regrets. And I want to do everything that makes sense to myself, that makes sense for our team. And when you do that, that's what I have found. No matter how hard something is or good something is, you always keep perspective of what it really is. If you want your perspective to be someone else's narrative, good luck being happy in life or successful.
can we put things in perspective here?
Please.
Marv Levy lost 4 straight Super Bowls. Is anybody worried about his legacy? He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep, he's in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, he's treated with reverence. Bud Grant, who passed away, went to 4 Super Bowls, lost all of them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Dan Reeves, unfortunately, you know, he went to 3 Super Bowls. He didn't win any of them. He can't get in the Hall of Fame, even though he's got 200 wins, non-all regular season. If you count his playoff wins, he can't even get a vote to come up there. So I think this is really the most ridiculous question of all. And I think Kyle did a great job of handling it. Getting here is the hard part. You obviously want to win, right? Getting here is the hard part. You want to win. But sometimes you're just maybe not the better team. You know, you got to try to figure out how to do it. And I don't think they've lost the game. He didn't lose the game 28-3. And up by 21, he didn't lose that game. The 3rd-and-18 play, the pass interference in the end zone. You know, he had a really good play called on the down, and Persons didn't block Chris Jones. And the next thing you know, Garoppolo can't get the ball off. So I think I think it's a little bit of an overblown story, to be honest with you. I really do.
When I think about Kyle Shanahan, I always think about he's become a victim of his own success. Because he's been so successful, like the expectation is like, well, no, he needs to win the Super Bowl. Right. It's like you said, it's just so hard to get there. And the fact that like he's being held to this standard of like, oh, if he doesn't win, then he's just like this choke artist, or he's a choke. It's like it seemed a little bit unfair. And I was actually thinking about it on NFL Honors Night, because I think Shanahan for Coach of the Year, I think he got like 3 down ballot votes or something like that. It's to where it's like, okay, like if you're not going to give credit to Brock Purdy, so then why do you think the team was good then? Like, who's – was it magic? Like, how did
– then it goes like, the other way. And then it flips the other way.
And it's like, well, he has all these good players. That's why he doesn't
– You know, I mean, look, let's face it. Everybody – well, it's the offense. Well, when the offense had Nick Mullins, it wasn't very good. When the offense had C.J. Beathard, it wasn't very good. You know, but nobody wants to hear that story. You know, nobody wants to talk about that. You know, look, I think this is a game where – Kyle, as the head coach, as the strategist of the team, has got to really come up with a way to get through this first quarter, to get through the script. He's got to find a way to score points. The Niners have not scored any points in the first quarter in the 2 playoff games, which is not like them. Usually he is very good, like his father was, of coming out in formations to test the defense, to create some mismatches early in the game and get ahead. Because this is, as we honor Coach Walsh on this Sunday, because this is 2 teams that follow his pathway in terms of the schemes they run football-wise and the organizational structure that they run, is that he believed you establish the lead, not the run. You establish the lead through quick throws, getting the ball down the field. That's why the script, people lose sight of this, the script is to establish the lead. Mm-hmm. And Kyle has probably felt, as he indicated in that clip, I haven't done my job well enough because I haven't been able to score in the first drive. You know, I haven't been able to get down the field and do what I need to do. So I think that's going to be really important.
Most Super Bowls, the narrative going into the game is that it's going to start a little bit slow. You know, it's kind of like a sparring in the first quarter. Then things pick up in the second quarter. You mentioned both of these teams and the importance of establishing the script, trying to establish that lead. First quarter total is 9.5.
Yeah.
Would you go over that number? Because we typically see lower scoring first.
Look, the first quarter in the Detroit game should have been 10. Moody misses the kick. Mm-hmm. They had a drive in that game. He missed the kick. So, yeah, I think both teams are going to show their best stuff offensively early. They're going to save some stuff later. The hard part about this game, Brady used to talk about it all the time, was that the rhythm of the game is very challenging. It's hard to get into the rhythm because of the inability, because of the longer timeouts, because of the break in the action. You know, there's no flow to the game. And then halftime is so long. But halftime is the reason why we were able to come back from 28-3. People don't realize this. So halftime is long, and it's hot in these stadiums. There's so many people. There's so many lights. The halftime show, it gets really humid in the stadiums, especially when you're indoors. And so the players really need IVs at halftime. Mm-hmm. And in that Super Bowl in Houston, we had enough time to get two IVs into the players. So that really rejuvenated the second half, where their bodies got replenished with fluids and they were able to come back out and have a better second half. Had it been a normal regular season to halftime, you don't even have time for one IV, let alone get two. So that's there's another advantage to this thing, you know. And I think Kansas City last year in Phoenix or Glendale, you know, they were able to go in and really rejuvenate themselves. They're down by 10. They start the second half. They get a field goal. They get back in the game. But you could feel their energy coming back. And a lot of it is because you could replace the fluids. The game is so long and it's so tedious. And your buses are there so early to get through security, to get there, everybody there. It's a long wait before the game. Usually some people don't get to the game until 2 hours before kickoff.
Yeah.
That ain't going to be the case on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, last year the Chiefs were able to kind of tape up Mahomes' ankle, because remember he'd sprained he re-aggravated the ankle injury that he suffered earlier in the playoffs during the game, and like everyone's saying, oh my goodness, like is he going to like miss the second half? What's going to happen? And that if it was a regular season game, who knows what Mahomes looks like in the second half of the game? But they were able to kind of redo that thing up there. You mentioned starting fast. I'm looking at DraftKings right now. They have the combination results for each team's first drive. Both teams to score a touchdown. So Chiefs touchdowns, Niners touchdown, 7-1 is what it'd pay out.
Well, we saw it in the Baltimore game. I mean, Baltimore started with a 3-and-out, so that wouldn't have counted. The Chiefs went down and scored. Baltimore answered right away. I mean, Baltimore's script, I know John Harbaugh don't want to hear about this, but that was a horrendous script. It was like they didn't really understand what they wanted to do. They wanted to probe. Probing isn't the script. There's a difference, right? You know, people think, well, we're going to look at some things. And so we're going to, no. The script is tactical. It's really a design to target specific areas of the defense that you know they can't cure with different looks that you're giving them. It has to be laser focused. It's not probing.
Yeah. No, come out swinging and
come out with points.
Other combinations, if you want to do Chiefs touchdown, Niners field goal attempt, that's 13-1. Vice versa, 13-1 as well, Chiefs field goal attempt and the 49ers touchdown. So we encourage everyone to explore all of the options over at the DraftKings Sportsbook app there, because there's a lot that you can get into. And if you have some of these opinions that we're sharing here where both teams kind of come out swinging, there could be an opportunity to hit a big price early on in this Super Bowl. All right, on the other side, Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, joins us in studio to give us his Super Bowl props and the side he likes for tomorrow's game.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code Lombardi. You'll get access to everything that we do on VSiN.com. Remember, use promo code Lombardi to get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Family of BFA, Michael Lombardi, and joining us in studio like he has all season long, our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern. Matt, how we doing today, man? It's the Super Bowl the day before. Are you feeling good with your card? Are you adding? What are you like right now, more than 24 hours out from kickoff?
I feel pretty good about the weekend. I'm not crazy about being awake at 8:30 on a Saturday morning.
We appreciate you waking up.
Staying up handicapping college hoops until 5. But I tell you what, that this is a great weekend in Vegas. And I reflect a lot on when I moved here in August of 2000. I came out here and I really thought that this is going to be a booming sports market eventually. And there were going to be major league sports come to Las Vegas. And I wanted to get ahead of the curve. It took 17 years for a major league franchise to get here. I thought it was going to be about 10 years. But then once the levy broke, you know, everything started to come to Vegas. And I can't tell you how many times I heard NFL will never come to Vegas, never be a Super Bowl in Vegas. And now all of a sudden, PASPA passes major league franchises come here. Sports betting's legal in 38 states, and the walls have come down. And Michael, now you have teams, you have a league and teams forming sports betting partnerships. For some people, it's too much. And I understand that. They're I think, overwhelmed by all the advertising campaigns and all the betting talk and things like that. But for what this has done for the Las Vegas market in terms of the legalization of sports betting across the country and all the major league franchises that come here, this is kind of the, I think, the culmination of all of that, having the Super Bowl here this weekend, because there are a lot of people, a lot of smart people said this would never happen.
And this isn't going to be the last Super Bowl against either. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to be back again because the city can handle it. You know, a lot of cities have a harder time doing it. Indy struggled because of they're not the big downtown. It was a great Super Bowl in Indy. The weather was really good then. But, you know, there weren't a lot of restaurants and hotels. I'm sure it's grown more. But this has been a really – this town can handle any convention. I mean, we have other conventions in town to go along with the Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, so the hotel I'm staying at has another convention going on. So let's focus on the game here. What's the one prop that you looked at the sheet of all the props that you just said, this one seems too easy?
Well, some of my favorite props are Christian McCaffrey-related props. I'll talk about those in a minute. But the one that jumped out to me to answer your question the best is, which team will make the longest field goal? And I went with the Chiefs at minus 120.
Yeah.
Niners have an unreliable rookie kicker. Harrison Butker of the Chiefs, 33 for 35 this season on field goals. 12 for 12 over 40 yards, 5 for 5 over 50 yards. I don't think Kyle Shanahan should opt for a long field goal attempt in this sort of game. Probably should be more aggressive and go for it if the situation dictates it. But the Chiefs, you think, won't hesitate to send Harrison Butker out there for a long field goal attempt.
If I was a TV producer and I know how much people want to bet in-game, because it's out there, right? Uh-huh. I would, before every game, I would show the field goal kickers kicking before the game. Because we all want to see it. Like, I want to know if Moody has any, what his confidence is like, right? I want to see him kick on that grass at Allegiant where, you know, it's going to be new to him. I want to see his plant foot. Because if I'm going to bet on this, I'm going to be just like Kyle. I want to see him do it, right? Because every game before you go into the locker room, the head coach goes over to the special teams coach and says, what do we got? What are we thinking? How should I call the game? And I think you're right. I think Kyle's got to think twice about that.
Chiefs know what they got in Harrison Butker.
Yeah.
The 49ers don't know what they're going to get with a rookie kicking in the Super Bowl with that pressure. So I think the Chiefs to make the longest field goal at minus 120 is one of those that jumped off the page to me. I'll give you one more. Brock Purdy's first completion under 10.5 yards. And, you know, I ask you guys, if you're putting together the game plan or the script for the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan's great at scripting those first drives, you're not going to have Brock Purdy drop back and throw it deep early in the game. Don't you want him to have a conservative, easy, safe completion to get things started, to calm your nerves? It's probably going to be a swing pass to McCaffrey or something like that that's going to get him a completion.
Or a bubble screen.
Yeah.
A quick screen to Debo.
Yeah, anything like that. And I think that first completion under 10.5 yards makes a lot of sense.
You know, but I want to go back to your field goal thing. I just looked it up. Okay. The 49ers only attempted 13 fourth downs all year.
Oh. And you would think Shanahan would be more aggressive. And maybe this game he will be.
Yeah, that would be it. My only point in bringing that up is he has not been that aggressive on fourth down. He's pretty classical, he'll take the points, which is not a bad thing to do at times.
I mean, they've been in the lead, though, a lot of the season.
I know, I get that. They haven't, but usually teams that, you know, I mean, Campbell was over 45.
Okay.
Our guy, Dan Campbell.
And just for the record, he's 53.8%. Campbell was 50%.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe you got to pick your spots with some of these things.
That might be a novel idea.
Yeah. Pro tip there. We'll add that to the list. Hanging out with Matt Eumanns here, host of VSiN tonight. You can check it out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern, talking Super Bowl 58 here on the Lombardi line. I know my only concern with the Purdy, the under completion, was that if they do get it to Debo, do the Chiefs guys tackle Debo Samuel? That's my only kind of concern with that one.
But let me tell you something. There's risk with every bet you make.
100%.
And that's definitely going to be risk that McCaffrey or Debo could break a tackle and get that over 10.5, but I still think he got a little bit of an edge there because it should be an easy, safe sort of a completion that Shanahan scripts for Purdy on the first pass, I would think.
What was going through your thought process of buying to three with Kansas City? Because you went ahead and took the three there, -130 when it was at 2.5 earlier this week.
I just don't see, you know, when you're actually betting real money on this, and it's not a pick in the, you know, a pick in a contest. You can take 2.5 in a contest, whatever. But when you're betting on this, and Westgate was sitting at 2.5 all week.
Yep.
So, well, there's a much better edge. And Billy Walters even talked about it yesterday. If you read that story, he said he would bet the Chiefs and buy the half point up to -132 and at +3. And I, that's actually what I did early in the week because I was afraid that this number was going to drop down to 2 and the 2.5s would disappear, and I couldn't do it. Now, I'm also setting myself up for other positions during the game because I'm not rock solid that the Chiefs are going to go out, you know, and win this game, and that's the right side. I think it's a little bit of a coin flip result here. We can talk about that too. But I did think the if you're going to bet the point spread, to me the smartest bet was to buy that half point up to 3 at -130.
All right, where do you think this closes, Matt? I kind of
2 probably.
Yeah, I was thinking yesterday, I thought that we might get to 2.5 close. I thought there's going to be some late San Francisco money in because all the big bets are on the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was $1 million bet on the Niners, $660,000 on the Niner. I mean, the money line bet, they're all on the money line. But to me, I kind of thought there would be a late 49er push. Do you see that, or do you think it's going to be a late Chief? Because we're seeing today more Chief money coming in. The lines, there's some 1.5s out there.
So starting on Friday, when everybody starts to roll into town or people across the country start to bet the Super Bowl, I think the public's going to be a little bit heavier on the Chiefs, and that's why we're pricing a little bit more Chiefs money. It's going to flow this weekend. Almost all the big bets, the six-figure bets, have been on the Niners. Billy Walters said he's putting $500,000 to $1 million down on the Chiefs. And
I thought he would move the number. I thought his announcement would have moved the number because people in the industry, like all of us that talk about this for a living, they know how powerful he is and what he does. And then I started to think, well, maybe he's trying to move the number to benefit himself. I don't know.
No, and then Todd Dewey of the Las Vegas Review-Journal did a smart thing. What every reporter should do, he asked a follow-up question about, are you doing a head fake on the Super Bowl saying you like one side and then you're going to move the number and bet the other? And he said, no. I would never do that. I don't need to do a head fake on the Super Bowl. And I do think Billy's being honest because what he's saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's saying the Chiefs should have been power rank higher than the 49ers.
Yeah, he has the Chiefs as 2-point favorites instead of 2-point dogs. So he bought it up to Chiefs +3. And I'm kind of thinking along the same lines, but I'm not going to fall out of my chair in shock if the 49ers win the game.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
You also have a same game teaser, which is something that I know like a lot of people don't do with the total there. You got the Chiefs up to 8.5 and then you're teasing it.
Yeah, I'll talk about this briefly before we take a break here. But I never, almost never tease totals in the NFL. But it's the Super Bowl. It's the last game of the year. And a lot of people want plays in this game. And, you know, I also feel like there's an edge here because 41 is a key number in totals. So it's sitting at 47.5. You play a 6.5-point teaser. You're getting the Chiefs and you're crossing key numbers up to +8.5. And you're teasing the total down to 41, which is a key number. So Chiefs +8.5 over 41. To me, that teaser made the most sense.
Yeah, and I think 8 has become much more of a key number as well with the going for 2. And when you're down 14, you score the touchdown. It ends up landing on 8 if you don't go ahead and convert that one. So I think, getting that 8.5 is a solid move there. Then teasing it with the total to get to over 41. But like you said, you like the Kansas City Chiefs in the game. Not surprised if the Niners do win. You also have some Niners bets, some positive Niners bets as well, which I want to hit on the other side of this just to kind of tell people that, like, hey, like, just because you like a side doesn't mean that there's not value with some of the other props as well. We will get into that and much more on the other side here. We're wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network, more than 24 hours away from the Super Bowl 58 between the Niners and Chiefs. Don't go away. Final segments and some more of the bets from Matt Eumanns here coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with the DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you bet, up to $2,500. Don't wait. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSiN when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 bet that you bet now. I mean, no better time to do that than Super Bowl weekend, right? I mean, is there a bet that you would make right now with that bonus, Matt, with the $500? You get up to $500 there with the $1,000 bet.
That's a good one. If you had some sort of bonus bet, why not use it on Christian McCaffrey to be MVP of the Super Bowl at about 5-1 odds?
Are you surprised? Purdy does get no money at all on him at all.
You know, when you look at the matchup, and if you study the Kansas City defense, I think it makes a lot more sense to play McCaffrey here, because I think the Niners are going to – I've said this. He is the horse I think they have to ride to the winner's circle. And whether it's going to be passes out of the backfield or running the ball right at that KC defensive front, I think he's going to put up some big numbers in this game. Can Purdy be MVP? Of course. But, you know, it would take a situation – similar to what happened against the Lions and the Packers in the NFC playoffs, where he was phenomenal in the fourth quarter and led drives to win the game, and then maybe Purdy could steal MVP. But I think the guy who's going to do the most work to get the 49ers to that point where they could win the game is going to be McCaffrey.
Yeah, because that's like we were having a discussion in the first hour. Like I was saying, on principle, if you like the Niners, the quarterback of the team that's favored is plus 225. Like, on principle, that seems like it's a good bet. But Michael brought up the point that, hey, like, this is Super Bowl MVP. Like, there's a little bit of narrative that goes into this, and you kind of have to lean into that narrative. And everybody's been kind of tearing down Purdy all season long, being like, well, is he really that good, or is it just the surrounding pieces around it?
Well, here's the thing. Purdy's a good quarterback. And you look at the numbers, and the numbers tell you that, or you can say the eye test, and you watch Purdy. He throws some, risky passes, and they probably should be have more picks. You know, I go back to the Detroit game. He threw one pick, and he probably should have thrown three.
Yeah.
You know, but he is in the fourth quarter under pressure. He was great against the Packers. He was great against the Lions. He's been great for the most part. That Christmas night game against the Ravens, where he threw the three picks and had a nightmare game, lost him the MVP and gave it to Lamar Jackson. But, no, he's a good quarterback. I think the 49ers have saved face, Michael, after making one of the worst trades in NFL history, moving up to get Trey Lance. And then they saved themselves by getting Brock Purdy with the last pick of the draft.
And that draft, if you go through it, it was a disaster.
It was not a good draft.
Spencer Buford doesn't even start. Drake Jackson's on IR. They cut the running back. That really saved them. But you got to give them credit for realizing how good Purdy was going to be. But I'm with you. Look, every quarterback, I had a reel in my office when I was in New England of Andrew Luck's dropped interceptions, because everybody was talking about how great Andrew Luck was, the next John Elway. He's the greatest quarterback who ever lived, you know. And so many of his passes were getting dropped on interceptions, but nobody would mention that, you know. So it happens to everybody. I think, to me, the other narrative that I want you to hit on is everybody says, I'm taking the Chiefs because why would I go against Mahomes? But in the three playoff games, Mahomes hasn't been the difference maker. He's been great. Don't get me wrong. But it's been their defense, and it's been their ability to play clutch football. Like, the Bills moved the ball up and down the field on them, but they made the plays in the red zone to keep the Bills out of it and kept them from going, you know, from scoring touchdowns. So I'm not sure that narrative fits the game. I think he's a great player. Don't get me wrong.
You know, in terms of the MVP voting first, I think a lot of, you know, look, there are a lot of people in the media who have no idea what they're doing and no idea how they should vote and get caught up in narratives and think, you know, this is a Disney movie and we're going to vote the American underdog story, Brock Purdy MVP, you know, if it's close. Oh, yeah, it's possible that could happen. You know, and actually you can kind of draw a parallel to the Rams back in the day and Kurt Warner. And what was that movie? Was that called
American Underdog Story?
That movie was so bad, by the way. It was terrible. Great story, terrible movie. But, you know, moving ahead to what we're talking about with the Chiefs, the Bills ran for 182 yards against the KC defense. And I thought the Bills had a pretty good game plan. Unfortunately, they just didn't execute when they had to win the game.
Right.
And one of the things I love about the Kansas City defense is Steve Spagnuolo is a great defensive coordinator, and he made adjustments. When you watched the early part of that Buffalo game, you thought, man, the Chiefs are in trouble, because I bet the Chiefs in all three playoff games. Early on in the Buffalo game, I thought, defense is not getting it done here. And the Spags made some adjustments, and then all of a sudden the Bills couldn't score in the red zone. And so the KCD did a great job against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, even though you can pick apart the Ravens' offensive game plan as one of the worst I've seen all season. But yeah, the KCD has been what's got them to this point, not necessarily heroics of Patrick Mahomes
in the playoffs. There's been no fourth quarter comeback fire, right. You know, and I mean, that's when people say that I don't want to bet against them. It's like the old Russell Wilson line. You know, I don't want to bet a when Russell was good. Yeah. You don't want to bet against them in a 3-point game with the ball last, although we won a Super Bowl when he had the ball last. So, you know, those things are all up to change. And look, you know, the last time, you know, Mahomes had a bad fourth quarter against Cincinnati. I think he got hit in that game. I think it was, you know, when he the overtime game and that loss there, I thought he was concussed actually because his three passes in overtime in that game were the worst three passes of his career. And I don't think he'll ever forget that. So, you know, I mean, they're going to have to, the game's coming down to simple football. They're going to have to put pressure on him. They're going to have to hit him and get him on the ground. That's his kryptonite. That's every quarterback's kryptonite.
Harrison Butker kicked 6 field goals in that game against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Right? That was
And they have not been great in the red zone, even on this win streak.
Right.
I mean, they have not been. They struggled in the Miami against the red zone. Everybody that had the over in that game was upset because they kind of had opportunities to hit the over and they couldn't do it. And then, you know, Baltimore, they don't score in the second half. They scored 46 of their 70 points in the first half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 18-2 to the second half under so far for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. We'll see if that holds up. Pacheco, we were discussing this because Michael's in the contest with Chris Russo. They've extended it to the playoffs, although you got the team.
I won the regular season, yes. Which all that matters. Okay, that now he's going to take the prop season and
this
make
is like
it
the
into
in-season
something.
Tournament. Right.
Yeah, like he's going to take the prop season and you know I've won 2 years in a row on the prop season. I really don't. I'm not good. I'll be first to admit to you, like I'm not a. I don't do the like I'm
the props. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a bettor, so I don't really understand it all the time. I do understand how to handicap the game and where I think it's going to go, although this one's really confusing for me. So I take more pride in the regular season tournament.
He sounds like a guy who worked in the Ravens organization. It's all about the regular season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how the Ravens – I can't imagine the Ravens putting – watching – going to your video machine to watch that tape. No, I just can't imagine.
Got to be sick to your stomach doing that. But Pacheco, I like Pacheco over. It seems like a lot of people like the Pacheco over. You think this is going to be another big game for him just based on what we've seen from the Niners run defense?
Yes, I bet McCaffrey over his rushing yards. I bet McCaffrey over his receiving yards and McCaffrey to be MVP. I didn't want to put all eggs in one basket here, you know, and say, hey, the Chiefs are going to dominate. I'm going to bet every prop the Chiefs way. Now, I'm not going to do that. But I also bet Isaiah Pacheco over 16.5 rushing attempts, over 65.5 rushing yards. And Pacheco in the three playoff games has got 24, 15, and 24 carries. In the Super Bowl last year, I believe he had 15 carries for 90 yards, something like that. I have to double-check
what I had here. I'll look it up right now.
But he's a battering ram. I love the way the guy runs. He's
he runs to me when I watch him run. Sometimes I think it's Tyreek Hill reincarnated with that number 10, the way he accelerates and runs with power.
He's violent.
Know, with violence. And, you know, and when they missed him a little bit when he had the foot injury and the toe injury there.
Oh, yeah.
They missed him in the offense. And if they're going to play Edwards-Helaire, everybody on the 49ers are going to be more happy about that. There's no question. But I think a lot of it, too, though, is the Niners. It's going to be interesting who they start in the game. We said this, Matt. You know, Chase Young has not played well, and Chase Young's going to have a very disappointing reality in the free agent market. This is a big game for him because if he plays well, he might still get paid. Somebody might be dumb enough to pay him.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't play well, I don't think even the dumb ones are going to pay him.
There's always somebody dumb out there willing to pay. Yeah. I said when Chase Young came out of college – out of Ohio State, he was going to be a bust because I watched every game he played and he took way too many plays off. He only played hard when he wanted to.
Yeah, and that's what he's doing. Watch the touchdown, you know, on the bubble screen. He didn't even try. Yeah, I mean, you can't accept that. You know, you're either coaching or allowing it to happen. And I don't think you can accept that.
So Isaiah Pacheco from Rutgers, I do think the Chiefs are going to run the ball out to 49ers too. Hey, look, both of these run defenses are suspect when you look at it. And I thought the Packers, if they stayed committed to the run, might have stayed alive in the playoffs.
The last four drives of the Packers, they want them back. I mean, because his quarterback rating was a 120 on the first six. I think it was like 52 on the last four. Bad.
Yeah, no, that's a game that they probably should have won. I mean, Detroit probably should have stuck with the run more in the second half as well. Last one that you have here, game decided by exactly 3 points. That pays out 5-1.
Just that's just a shot. I bet that the last couple of years when it hit, the last two Super Bowls decided by exactly 3 points and 5-1.
The way the line's moving around, everybody's
close.
None of us have a conviction. Even the people that take Kansas City say, I know, you know, like none of us have a conviction.
Right. Yeah. Which to make sure a fun game there, and from a live betting standpoint there, if we get some early points, maybe you can get in on an in game under. But Super Bowl 58, 24 hours away. We can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to bet it. And good luck with all the bets out there. For Matt Humans, for Michael Lombardi, always fun to have you in studio.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
For our producer, Elliot Bowman, the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Abebefe saying good luck with all the bets. Live Bet Saturday with JVT and Pam Maldonado coming up next.